Welcome, Baruch Hashem. A lot of new faces, so maybe I'll get to meet some of you over the course of the shiur. But Baruch Hashem, we just had a baby, so thank you. So I had to a baby girl. So I had to take off a week or two, but unfortunately, our simcha was a bit dampened, a bit marred by the current events. And I felt that even though we try to speak about the parsha itself usually, that I couldn't pull back from speaking something to do about what's going on, because it's such a terrible thing, it's such an emotional thing that it touches each and every one of us in some way, even if we don't necessarily know, you know, any of the people Nebuch that were involved. But you know, we're all Yidden, we're all Jews at the end of the day. We're all Am Yisrael, we're all part of one big family. And especially when we live here in Eretz Yisrael, it runs close to home. And, you know, many, many Rabbanim have said this, and I'll just say this thing. No one can know, no one can have an idea of why Kadosh Baruch Hu would allow such terrible things to happen. You know, we believe in Bechir Chavshis, but we also believe in Hashgacha Pratis, we believe in free will, but we also believe that there's a divine providence out there, and that nothing that happens is totally mikra, nothing that happens is just a mistake or a happenstance. So it's difficult to digest how it could be that again and again, over and over, here in Eretz Yisrael, the place where Hashgacha Pratis is supposed to be the strongest, the place where Ein Hashem Elokecha, but God's eyes are on this country and this place all the time, and Nebuch Jews are constantly being killed. And you know, unfortunately for us English speakers, for us Anglos, you know, when it hits close to home, like, you know, when it hits close to home in terms of the fact that you think of Har Nof as, you don't think of it as Merkaz Yerushalayim, right? You don't think of it as the Merkaz. It's not the old city. It's not Mizrahi Yerushalayim. It's not East Jerusalem. It's this nice, quiet neighborhood where all these Anglos live together and they're all happy. And there's Israelis there too, of course. But, you know, the English speakers think of Har Nof in that way, rightfully so. There's plenty of Americans there. And quite a few people, you know, unfortunately, the families that were involved in last week's terrible tragedy and massacre. And I felt that I had to say something about it. So even though, we try to stick to the parsha, we'll go a bit back into last week's parsha, only because it happened last week. And some of the things I saw in parshas told us, to me, spoke things about what happened. So I'll share them with my thoughts and my feelings with you, and hopefully Hashem will help that we should see no more tzaras for Klal Yisrael, no more tzaras for Am Yisrael. So the first thing I wanted to share with you was a very interesting idea. The Or Yitzchak, Rabbi Yitzchak from Radville, he was the son of the Zlotchev Rebbe. The Zlotchev Rebbe was a Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov. As I said a few times when we spoke in the shir about the different streams and groups of Hasidus, when the Baal Shem Tov passed on, the mantle of leadership went over to the Mezritcher Magid, and he was seen as the leader of all the Hasidim. However, the Baal Shem Tov had students, had disciples that were close to him who founded this. One of them was Zlotchev, and the Zlotchev Magid was a well-known tzaddik and a well-known Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov. His son Rabbi Yitzchak from Radville has a sefer called Or Yitzchak, which has beautiful, beautiful ideas. Also, the language is very beautiful, because some of the Hasidic Sfarim were written by, as I mentioned before, written by students and disciples rather than by the Rebbe themselves. This one's written by the Rabbi Yitzchak Radviller's son-in-law. And the quotes that he puts in, and the language that he uses, he's constantly using Lashonos like, Achai Ahuvai, my brothers, my beloved. It's a very beautiful language. But what I wanted to revisit the idea was, unfortunately, because this horrible tragedy, and as it's so with all Jewish tragedies, you didn't cry. We shed tears. And how many, unfortunately, how many families have cried, and how many mothers have cried, and how many children have cried? How many Jewish tears have been spilled over all the tzaras that we've gone through in Galus? And you have to ask a question. And the question is, Ad Matai, how many more tears need to be spilled? And so, unfortunately, the Jewish history is full of things that there were reasons to cry for, and we weren't the first people to ask this question. So Rabbi Yitzchak Radviller says, it says in the Medrash, "Bishvil d'mois shebacha Esav ve'amar barcheni gam ani avi zocha lekol hatoiv hazeh." that when Esav came to get brachas, we know that Yaakov dressed up and he pretended that he was his brother Esav. And when Esav found out that he had lost out on the brachas, it says in the Chumash that he cried. He was actually quite upset about that. And the Midrash says to us that because of the demois, Shebacha Esav, because of Esav's crying, he was zoichet to all the goodness that Esav has in this world. You know, Esav, which symbolizes the Machus of Roimi, the Edom, the Christian world, and the non-Jewish Christian world. You know, Rabbi Nachman writes on Kutta Maran, if you've ever learned that, one of the first few pieces there on Kutta Maran, the Chenin Chashivas, the most beautiful and the most important societies, and the societies full of covet and all the sophistication, in this Gullus, it all seems to be by them. It constantly seems to be by them. It seems to be that they have the nicest and the most beautiful and most eloquent and most sophisticated. That's the way it seems, at least. And Esav seems to have Olam Hazeh B'Shefa, even though he didn't get the brachas. So the Midrash says, because he cried, so he also was zoiche to all the goodness of this world. How could that be? So Rav Shmuelka Nicholsberger, who was one of the major disciples of the Mezritch Magid, he asked, how could it be? Halaykama b'chiyos shibnei Yisrael boichem. Like we said, Chal Yisrael has been crying. Esav cried, so what? How many times have we cried? And we've cried so much over the generations. How could it be that our crying isn't amounting to more than Esav's? How could that possibly be? V'hadin shekol advarim b'telim b'shishim. So he asked it as a lamda shekasha. Anyone who has ever learned Hilchas Kasheris knows that things are batal b'shishim. Rabbanan said that when you measure how potent, how strong a mixture can be, there's a halacha. If you have 60 times against it, it's batal. It's nullified, it's cancelled, that the flavor can't be felt. If that's the din in halacha, it should be the din in dmoas too. If we cried 60 times more, and I'm sure we cried much more than 60 times more than Esav, his tears should be batel, the tears of Am Yisrael much, much more than his tears. Why do our tears not cancel out and nullify Esav's tears? How could it be that we've been crying over so many tzaras for so many generations? Kol shekin now, even in our time, all the horrible things that have happened to us lately in the current events, and we cry, and we cry, and we cry. How could it be that our tears aren't canceling out Esav's tears? What, our tears aren't strong enough? We don't have what to cry about. We don't cry enough. So what did Rav Shmuelka Nicholsberger say? Tirets avanal mitzad shehi min b'minoi. L'zeh ha'dmoy shalonu enem yichon levatal dmol shel Esav. In halacha, in terms of kashrus, when you have two things that have different flavors, so the discussion is whether they can cancel each other out. But there's a halacha, according to one of the shitas, if you have min b'minoi, if the two things taste the same, you can mix them up as much as you want to. But since they taste the same, one can never cancel the other because they have the same taste. So even if you have 100 pieces of kosher meat, 1,000 pieces of kosher meat, and you have a piece of treif, how could it cancel it according to the min b'minoi shita? Because they're always the same flavor. You can't cancel the flavor of iser. We don't pass them like this necessarily. In all cases. However, he says, in terms of the tears, they're for sure min b'mino. These are tears, and these are tears. And if the tears are the same, they don't cancel each other out. Esav bacha, and he explains, what does it mean min b'mino? We obviously don't talk about flavor when we're talking about the tears. They're all salty, right? Esav bacha v'amar, barcheni gam ani avi. What did Esav cry about? Esav cried that he wanted the brachos. The brachas of Olam Hazeh. Esav was upset. He wanted Olam Hazeh, and he was denied it. Those brachas were given over to his brother. Esav cried, Tati, father, give me brachas. I also want brachas. I also want Olam Hazeh. Ratza kol tuv Olam Hazeh. V'anachnu, Rav Shmuelka says about us, bochim gam kim b'zenin. Why do we cry? So Rav Shmuelka accuses us of the same fault. When we cry, why is it that we're crying? Are we really crying for a deeper reason? Or are we upset that our lives have been disrupted? Are we upset that everything that was supposed to go nice isn't going the way we wanted it to? Are we upset that we don't have parnassah we want to, so we can't get the car that we wanted to, or buy the house that we wanted to, or have as nice a barbecue, or have as nice a Shabbos dinner even? Gashmias, is that why we're crying? Rav Shmuelka accused. He said, listen, the reason that we're not mevatel his tears is because we're crying for the same thing. He cried for Olam Hazeh, we're also crying for Olam Hazeh. If we cried for a deeper reason, then our tears would be different.
He's
saying to him, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, "Ima anochi b'tzara, I am with you in your pain. I am with you in your suffering. If we were with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his suffering, if we shared the pain that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has, if we shared Be'emes in his pain, if it was a spiritual pain, in other words, we were upset. Why? Because of Kal Yisrael, because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because of Galus. If we were upset for Ruchnius sticker things, then maybe it wouldn't be Mim B'Shein Amina. I'm sorry, maybe it wouldn't be Mim B'Shein Amina. Our tears would be of a different nature. Esav's tears were because of Olam Hazeh. Esav's lacking, what is he lacking? He's lacking this world. And we cry because what? Because we don't have such a good life in this world. No, but if we cried for the right reasons, said Shmelke, if we cried because of the pain of Galus, because of what the Shechina is suffering, because of the Chilul Hashem, you know, many of the Rabbanim emphasize about the terrible tragedy. It's always terrible, it's always horrible when Jews are killed. No matter what type of Jews they are, where do they come from, and what madriga of Yiddishkeit they have, or Frumkeit. But when Jews are in the middle of davening, wearing talis and tefillin, in shul, it's a symbol of something that's called a Chilul Hashem, because we say about the way that we're supposed to be observing Yiddishkeit, the way we're supposed to, Kadosh Baruch Hu is expecting us, and we're doing what, and this is what happens? What a Chilul Hashem! If that's why we're crying over the Chilul Hashem, then our tears have a different power, a different value, a different meaning to them. And then those tears wouldn't be about the same reason as Esav's. They would be Mim B'Shein Amina. And then they would be able to cancel it out. That's what Rav Shmelke said. Shmelke Nichelsberger, that's what he said. He said, if our tears would be different, if we would cry over the deeper things, over the Ruchnius, over the tragedy of the Chilul Hashem, over the Galus, then it would be different. Says Rav Yitzchak from Radvil, I disagree. I disagree with Rav Shmelke. I don't agree with him. L'dati ein hasvara noyter l'zeh. I think the logic is. I think the rationale is different. Sh'amar Rav Shumim b'mina. You think our tears are the same as Esav's? So Rav Yitzchak, I don't agree with you. I don't think so. Emes min b'mina enu yochel levatel etzel dover iser. Because you know what? If we're talking about min b'mina, halacha is that when you're talking about foods, mixtures getting mixed together, and that's in hilchus iser v'heter. But here we're not talking about that. Avol zeh she'anachnu bochem. In a dvar iser, we're not talking about iser here. Uvadi yochel levatel dmal shel Esav. Of course, our tears have the power to cancel out Esav's tears. Vitei meshad dmal shel Esav gamken ein dover shel iser. You're going to tell me Esav's tears are also not iser? They're not treif, right? He says, no, they are. Ubeemes amru b'gemara anoisin sela la'ani b'shul sheyichye b'ni harezet tzadik gomer. The Gemara says an amazing thing. If a person would give even one coin to tzedakah, and he would say, I'm giving this coin to tzedakah so that my son, who's chas v'shalom sick, he should live. This person who's giving tzedakah is a tzaddik gomer. How could you say that? If a person giving tzedakah because he wants to help the poor person, because he wants to do the mitzvah of Hashem, you could understand why he's a tzaddik. If a person says, I'm giving tzedakah and I want the merit of this mitzvah, it should help my sick son. You know that there's whole, what is his motivation? His motivation isn't to help the poor person. His motivation isn't for Akash. His motivation is to help his son, Nebuch, who's sick. So how could the Gemara call him a tzaddik gomer? So the answer is, when Jews do mitzvahs, even if they have what we call an ulterior motive, even if motive isn't 100% sincere and pure, it's not only for Hashem, it's not only for the poor person, it's also so my son should get well, it's enough to be a tzaddik gomer for a Jew. Because a Jewish heart is different. A Jewish hand that does mitzvahs is different. The intention that a Jew does when he does a mitzvah is different. It's not the same. And therefore, even if he has a slight ulterior motive, he's still called a tzaddik gomer for it. And the halacha is that if a person who's not a Jew would do the same thing and say, I'm giving this, but only so my son should live, so we would say he's not considered. A tzaddik is considered the opposite. What's the reason? Jews are amazing because no matter what happens to us, even when we complain, we don't complain. Right? When Jews complain, what are they complaining about already? When a Jew looks up to Kadosh Baruch Hu and says, why? Even his question isn't really a question. Because deep down inside he believes. If he didn't believe, he wouldn't be asking someone why. There would be no one to ask. Because if you don't believe, who are you asking? Who are you expecting an answer from? Deep down inside, a Yid always knows that there's somebody to blame. Somebody, there's someone to cry out to, there's someone to ask questions of, there's somebody to expect something from. And that's a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So deep down inside, even when a Jew questions, he's not really questioning. Deep down inside, even when a Jew has questions, even when a Jew feels that he's been betrayed, even when a Jew feels that it's so dark and something's so wrong, he has somebody to question. He has somebody he's expecting the answer from. And the very fact that he has somebody that he's expecting the answer from means he believes in him, because otherwise who are you asking it from anyway? And that emunah, that nekuda of emunah deep inside of a Jew, is what makes a Jew different than all the others. You know, there's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah that says that Lasul Rav HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give the goyim a mitzvah called sukkah. And the Gemara says that why a sukkah? Because it's not an expensive mitzvah. The Gemara didn't know about the type of money we spend on sukkahs today. But back then, to make a sukkah wasn't, you got a few boards and some wood and some, you know, thatch for the roof, and you do it. It's not so much money. But anyways, the Gemara says what happens: the Kadosh Baruch Hu takes out the sun and he shines it, and it gets really hot. And all the goyim who ask the Kadosh Baruch Hu, give us a mitzvah, Mashiach's coming, we want a mitzvah, Kadosh Baruch Hu gives the goyim a mitzvah of sukkah, they all come out and they kick down their sukkahs. Because they don't have that emunah that we have. Even when the going gets rough and gets tough and gets hot, they go out and they kick it down. Because to them, it's supposed to go together. Listen, I believe, and I do what I'm supposed to do, so I expect reward. I expect it to be a two-way street. You know, that's how the Rambam describes Avodah Zarah in his halachas, in the Mishnah Torah. How did Avodah Zarah start altogether? How could it be that didn't know there was a God? Once upon a time, there was Adam Rishon. He knew there was a God. Noach knew there was a God. How did all this idolatry start? So Rambam says it was a developmental thing, that basically people thought, listen, I'll serve you and you do for me. And they thought, listen, what do I have to bother God for? He has all these emissaries that are in control of things like the wind and the sun and the moon, and I need all these things for my crops to grow. So what do I have to go to God? Go to the emissary. I'll pay off the guys in the area and they'll take care of what I need. And so they started paying them off, paying off all the different powers out there. And that's how idolatry started. But basically, they see it as it's very simple. There's no problem greasing his palms. He wants a korban, and I want the sun to shine. So we'll work out a deal, a business deal. I'll give you the korban, and you make the sun shine. It's very simple. But expect it, and if you don't, so I throw this idol into the garbage, and I take on a different idol. If my idol loses the war, so I adopt the idols of the conquering nation. They have no problem doing it because it's a two-way street. You want what you know. I give you. I'm supposed to get back. But we're not like that. You know. Ever notice that through all our history, Nebuch, we're full of all these tzaras that we keep talking about, and we still don't give up. We still believe. We have so much chutzpah that we say to Kadosh Baruch Hu, you know what? You can hide as much as you want from us, and we'll still believe in you. It's not going to work. That's the power of a Jew. That Yisrael ain't a kare tager. No matter what happens to us, we don't complain in the same capacity. We don't scream and shout and protest. Lezeh, who Rasha? The Kusi is a Rasha Gomer. Because what happens is a Chil Hashem. As soon as his son doesn't get better, give me my tzedakah back. I gave tzedakah so my son should get better. If it doesn't happen, so the Mekach Talus, it's over. Give me my money back. But a Yid would never do that. We don't do mitzvahs for the schar. We do mitzvahs because we're supposed to, because we're Jews. That's the way we live our lives. Esav bacha. Esav cried. He wanted Olam Hazeh, and he didn't get it. And then, you know what? He cried so bad, the Kadosh Baruch Hu said, fine, take it. Because if I don't give it to you, you're going to spit in my face. Hubiza Esav choyre. Ubezeh abchia Rasha gamar. With this crying that Esav has, he's a total Rasha. Because he's crying, give me, I deserve it. I cried so much. Doesn't my pain mean something? Don't I get something for my pain? I'm not entitled for something? Avo Yisrael boichim ve'enam koyim tagar. As much as we cry, we still believe. As much as we cry from the pain, it's from the pain of lack of understanding, because we want to understand, because we believe there's what to understand, because we believe that there's some kind of thing called justice from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that there's din and emes and tzedek. And we ask questions why, because we think that there's an answer. V'oid me'abchia shel Esav shezachar kol ratuv nischar shmeis parach. Look at all the wonderful sophistic we spoke about before. Out there, it looks like there's beautiful sophistication and wonderful in this. Look at how the nations of the world behave. Look at what they take, all the gifts that they've been given to all of them. Look what they do with it. What do they build with it? What do they do with their money? What are they spending it on? What are their empires made of? You know, I'm asking rhetorically because we all know the answers. I don't even have to say it. What?
I said tunnels.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you want a silly example? They're crying. They're so destitute. Nebuch, the Palestinians, miskinim. You know, like, we don't have money for food, and we don't have money for hospitals and clothing for our poor babies. We have money to build million-dollar tunnels to kill innocent people. That we have money for. You know? And it's such a chil Hashem, the gifts they've been given. They could use it for such wonderful things, and they use it for the most destructive, most horrible, most terrible, the most depraved. When Esav cried and he was granted, it was a pure chil Hashem, what he did with it. But us, even the little that we're given, aval yisrael kshiyakabal Hashem yisborach habchiyah shelanu v'yazor lanu b'meher v'yameinu, says Rabbi Yitzchak Radvila, then yisgadal v'yiskadesh shmo yisborach. There'll be the ultimate kiddush Hashem. That's why we say nebach kaddish. Right? At the most difficult point in a Jew's life, when it's so hard, when it's so dark, that's when a Jew strengthens himself. It says Kaddish. And what is Kaddish? You know, people trying to translate the meaning of Kaddish, prayer for the dead. Kaddish isn't a prayer for the dead. The words of Kaddish are Yisgadol v'yiskadesh Shmei Rabba. Hashem's name should be sanctified and exalted and glorified, because the darkest point in a Jew's life, when he's suffering the most, when his most beloved people that he loves have been taken from him, what does he say? He glorifies God's name. Because that's the mark of a Yid. As much as we suffer, and as difficult as it is, and as many questions as we have, and as many tears that are shed, still Yisgadol v'yiskadesh Shmei Rabba. Says Rabbi Yitzchak Radvila, Vaday hemin shelo b'minoy. Therefore, there's no doubt in my mind, says Rabbi Yitzchak, our tears are nothing like Esav's tears. And therefore, adin shabchia shelanu tevata rabchia shel Esav. He paskins a halacha. That's it. Our tears are of a different nature, and it's for sure that they cancel Esav's tears. No matter how much Esav will have cried in the past, no matter what Esav cries about today, our tears cancel his tears out. They're worthless. They're gone. V'yisgadol kvoyd yisborach amen. And that's the kaddish of a Jew. That as hard as it is, and as dark as it is, and as difficult as it is, when we say Kaddish, Nebuch, when these families said Kaddish, when Nebuch, these orphans and almanas, when they say Kaddish, they sanctify and glorify Kaddish Baruch Hu's name. There's a Kiddush Hashem, not a Chil Hashem. And the strength in the Emunah of a Jew is that there's always going to be a Kiddush Hashem. That's what a Jew is, a Kiddush Hashem. Hashem should help that we constantly making a Kiddush Hashem, that we shouldn't have to make a Kiddush Hashem in such a way, that we'll make a Kiddush Hashem out of happier things. But we're left with questions. So I noticed that he said something very, very interesting about questions. So as I mentioned, that the Yitzchak Radviller Sefer, it's full of beautiful things. Some of the Torahs in it are very, very deep. And I can't claim that I understand everything I'm about to share with you from this Torah. But because, like I mentioned, this horrible tragedy happened to us last week, and during Parshas told us, I wanted to see what the Parsha could tell us about it. So let's see if we can just understand just a little bit from something from what he said. So he says, it says in the Haftorah, Ahavti eschem, Amar Hashem. Hashem says, I love you. I love Klal Yisrael, I love the Jews. V'amartem b'mav tanu. Prove it. What, show us what you love us with. Haloch ach Esav Yaakov v'oav es Yaakov. It's Esav Senesik. Rosh Baruch Hu says, you know, Esav and Yaakov, they're, after all is said and done, they're brothers. But you know the difference? Oav es Yaakov is Esav Senesi. I love Yaakov and I hate Esav. That's what the Navi Malachi said to us. Says Rabbi Yitzchak Radvila, Achai Ahuvai, my brothers, my beloved, Egalachem Soid Ha'inyan, I'll tell you a deep secret. Ach Bakashasi, but I'm asking you, please, Bakashasi Mikem, Tamid Shilatifnu Arevus Mesikus Apshat, don't pay attention to the beautiful, delicious sweetness of the simple meaning of what I'm about to tell you. Because the deeper meaning, even if it's going to be a beautiful thing I'm telling you, don't be enthralled by it so much that you're so captivated by how beautiful the idea is. Instead, I'm asking you, take it to heart and do something about it in Avodas Hashem. Take my teaching and use it to serve God. So let's see if we can do that. So one of the things he asks is, it says in the Divrei Kabbalah, and Chassidus does this often, it takes, you know, very lofty ideas in Kabbalah that we can't hope to necessarily understand, and it takes the ideas, brings it down to us to see what we can do with it. In Kabbalah it says that Chochma and Bina, the spheros that God used to create the world, Chochma and Bina are called Abba ve'Ima. Why is that? Why is it that we call them Abba ve'Ima? He says that the reason is because the mashal behind Abba and Ima together is that husband and wife, mother and father, create children. Only through that union are children born. If you want and expect to have offspring, told us, it's only if there are others. So what is it that we're trying to get out of them together? So he says, Chochma Bina, even though we can use our mind, our seichel, we can try to understand it like this. B'mashal, ha'adam shehuk shelo eze inyan. Let's say we have questions. You don't understand something. Mitzad she'eno mevin ze adover. Az echol shev machshava soy kol kach ad shemaskir bechochmosu lehavin ze inyan. So what happens when the person has a question? He thinks about it till he tries to arrive at an answer. He thinks about it and he thinks about it. He tries to work it out in his mind. He creates different scenarios. He goes over different possibilities. And eventually, if he's successful, he comes up with some kind of a rationale, some kind of a explanation to explain away what the question was, so now that he has an answer. And then a person understands what it means. Comes out based on what we're saying. We talk about the intellect used to arrive at this rationale, this explanation, and the insight that a person uses to understand what it is that he's thinking about. Because once you come to an answer, you have to understand why the answer answers the question you had altogether. Why is this the correct answer? And when a person thinks about that, Meturetz Akusha, Zeh Nikra Abba Ve'ima Mitzad Holadas HaTeruts. Right? We said, why is Chochma and Bina called Abba Ve'ima? Because using Chochma, using our wisdom, to gain an understanding and insight, we achieve what Abba and Ima achieve, which is told us, progeny, children, offspring, a Teruts, an answer. That when we have questions, when our mind is incapable of answering, so we don't understand how something's wrong, we work it out, and eventually we arrive at a conclusion, an answer. That's the toldus, that's the offspring, that's the children of Abba and Ima, of Chochma and Bina, working together to give forth das, knowledge, and understanding, and answer. That's the back and forth that's going on in our mind. Le'eshev akasha. Shenolad min Chochma u'bina. That's why the Kabbalah called Chochma and Bina mother and father, Abba and Ima, because on some level, they, just like a father and mother can give birth to children, our mind, using its intellect and using its power of reasoning and understanding and insight, is able to arrive at das, a conclusion, an answer. ומצד שחוכמה היא המשפיע זה הסברה הנכון שיהיה נסקה ברבינה למביני הדס שהקושי תהיה מוטרצס הפשט ולנוכל. And just like we always say in nature, there's always a mashpia and a mekabel. Nature, the way it works is there's always an influencer and influenced, one who gives and one who receives. Abba is the giver. The intellect gives over to the ima, the understanding, who receives it, and gives birth to the child, which is the answer that we're speaking about. So that's one thing. But, he says something, one second he says, Yesh od ramala mizeh. It's true that wisdom is getting somehow some kind of an answer, and Bina is accepting it, and it's giving birth to a teretz. But where is it coming from? If you came up with a good answer, where'd you get that answer from? You had a question. You didn't understand something. How did all of a sudden you get the insight to give an answer? Where did it come from? Did it come from you? How could it? You didn't understand it before. How could it have come from you?
Mukhracham anachnu lomar, me'eze makom nitzmach la'adam zeh asvara nechoina. Mistama, yesh inyan lemala michochma bina v'das.
So he arrives at this, he says, look, chochma and bina and das can only get you so far because you're only what you are. Where are you going to get the material for him to get the answer? Now we know in the physical world, if you have questions, you look up information somewhere. You go to books. If you're talking about Yiddishkeit, you go to this forum. But if you're talking about mundane things like science, you do experiment. You have to get the answer from somewhere. It can't come only from you, because you had the question to begin with. How could you have arrived at the answer without some external component, something, mathematical theories, philosophy, something has to give you the ability to give an answer. You can't just all of a sudden come up with it on your own. Where did it come from? It must be something higher.
Ach mitzad shehu mekasher es chochmaso b'zeh ha'inyan lehamtzi ha'terutz mashpien lo zeh ha'svara mehashoyresh shehu remara mechochma ubin.
So on the spiritual level, he says something very deep. When a person has spiritual questions, when a person has kashas, and he doesn't have the answer, and he can't have the answer from himself, so from on high, they give him, their mashpia to him, the power from the shoresh, from the root of where it comes from, to know what the answer is.
V'araya, sheyesh b'nei odem shehem balei seichel, v'hochen kol yameim b'kashis, v'en lehem z'chus sheyashpiu lehem min shoresh esateretz.
What's the proof to this, he says? Some people are really smart, they're really wise, and they walk their whole lives full of questions and never get an answer. Some people are brilliant and they're full of questions that never get answered. Why? And the answer is because they weren't zoiche, they didn't merit getting the answer from the higher place up above.
V'anik shehuk sheli eze inyan, az ani boiche u'misvade,
says the Rebbe, an unbelievable thing about himself. When I don't have an answer, what do? Says the Rebbe. I cry. And I say vidui, I clap al chet before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lifnei melech malchem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ad shemashpim li min ha-shamayim es ha-teruts. That's what I do. If I don't understand something, I cry to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I say, I don't understand, please enlighten me. And I confess my sins, I confess how bad I've been in terms of my delinquency and fulfilling what I'm supposed to, until HaKadosh Baruch Hu has mercy on me and enlightens me and gives me the answer. And then he tells us a story. The Rebbe says, Avi HaKadosh, the Holy Zlotshever, Tziva Osivis Achai. The Holy Zlotshever told his children, Lo Yavo Bechinem Rechedra HaMiuchad She'ele Avi. He had a special room, a special Sfarim Shtib, a special room where the Rebbe sat with his Sfarim. And he said to his own children, you're not allowed to come into this room for no reason. The only reason you can come into my room, if we have a kasha, if we have a question, then we're allowed to come into his room and ask him, Tati, do you have an answer for me? And I'll give them the answer. But otherwise, he said, my father wouldn't allow us into his special room. Only that was the Rishus
Lavoi.
One time I had a big question, says Ritzchok, and I came, basi lechedroi, v'imtanti me'at, and I waited a bit outside. And I thought a lot about the matter. I went over and over in my mind. So what happened? I got the answer. I kept thinking about it while I was waiting for my father to let me in. I thought about it and thought about it and thought about it until all of a sudden I had the answer. So I knew I wasn't allowed to enter if I don't have any questions. I don't have any questions. I turned around and I started leaving. I started to walk away.
My father called me back.
My father knew that if I came and knocked on the door, I knew the rule. I couldn't come for no reason. There must be a reason that I came. And now I'm turning away and leaving? How could it be? It didn't make any sense.
So, Amar li yadati shebiyoscha hayla eze davar. Lama lo sha'alta?
I know you came to ask something, because that's the rule. Why didn't you ask it? What happened?
Amarti lo emes, I told him the truth. Shuli eze davar, ach biyosi lekan chashati bez inyi v'lo yukshoyit v'nochem.
Listen, I came to ask you a question, Tati, but I thought about it. I got an answer, and I think it's the right answer, so I didn't want to bother you.
Amrli b'zaloshin, what did he tell me? He told me, son, b'ni, avin chaze,
I'm going to explain how this happened to you. Alma v'lama lo hevanta ze ha'inyan kodem b'yasra l'beisi. I'm going to explain to you, how could it be that you didn't know the answer till you came?
Ze shebasa etzli mimela nisvad recha teretz.
Coming to me gave you the answer.
Mitzad she'etzli lo hukshe ze ha'inyan.
I didn't have this problem. I know the answer.
Ubevadi yesh li teretz.
Of course I have an answer for you.
Lachen bivyasra ze ha'mokum she'ateretz sham.
When you come to the place where there are answers,
leze lo haya ata tzarach lishol od osi v'lo hukshe lecha od mimela v'daylam v'inyan.
When you come to the place where there are answers, you don't have any more questions. When you reach the place, said the Zlotcha V'Magid, where the answers are, you don't even have to ask the question anymore. It just vanishes. There is no more question to ask. It leaves of its own accord.
Says Rabbi Yitzchak Radviller about this episode from his father,
Hu raya l'zeh sh'amarnu. This proves what I've been telling you. My father, who was an Ish Emes, was a tzaddik, he was able to connect his mind and his chokhmah and his bin and his das to the root of it all, up there in Shemayim, that makom where there are no questions, because up in Shemayim there's no questions at all. Everything up in Shemayim makes perfect sense. Up in Shemayim, all the kashas that we have, they don't exist. They don't have any place there. It says about the tzaddikim, about the Magid, that when he was about to leave this world, his talmidim said, Rebbe, how could you leave us in this horrible matzav, in this gullus? You know, Europe was no picnic. And he said, Rebbe, how can you leave us? And he's promised this, I'll shake heaven and earth, I'll make sure that when I get there, I'll mevatel all the gzeris, I'll rescind and nullify and cancel all the decrees. And the Magid left, and it didn't happen. And they couldn't believe it. How could it possibly be? And one of his Talmidim couldn't believe that his Rebbe would just forget about them. And so he did what a Chassidish Talmid of a great tzaddik could do. He fasted and he prayed and he did whatever a tzaddik can do. And the Magid appeared to him in some kind of a vision. And he asked him, Rebbe, did you forget about us? What about canceling all those decrees? And the Rebbe said to him, son, I don't know what you're talking about. Up here, ach toy v'chesed. All I see is wonderful thing. You want me to take this back from you? Now, I don't know what pshat in that means. I mean, I believe it's true. But I can't see those things necessarily. But I do know that there's a place up there where there are no questions. Because they don't even begin to be questions. Because there's no need for a question means I don't understand something. It means that there's something that's not clear to me. There's something that's dark that needs illuminating. But up there, there's no questions. That's the place of all the answers. That's the shorish, that's the makum. It's above our chokhmah and our bina and our das. And that tzaddik, the Zlotcha V'Magid, Rabbi Yitzchak Radviller's tati, he was connected to that place. And when his son came into his room, he didn't even have to ask the question because he reached a place where there are no questions.
Ki b'sham ein shum kasha.
After the chet of Adam Rishon the world is full of questions, because now the world is full of din, the world is full of judgments, the world is full of sin and of darkness. And that's why, says Rabbi Yitzchak Radvor, we call it a din Torah. Why is it that when we have two parties that are fighting with each other, and we don't know, the Dayan, he doesn't know the MS, he can't know who's telling the truth and who's lying. His job as a Dayan, as a Shoifer, is not to know the truth, it's to paskin al pi Torah what the halacha is going to be. He can't ever know what the truth is. But that's why it's called a din Torah, because there's dinim there, because it's judgment, it's difficult, it's unclear. The sin of Adam Rishon brought chet into the world, brought darkness into the world, brought death into the world, and that's where questions come from. And that's what we've been given till this day. The mission to be Amelim and Yegiim in Torah. You know, it's not a mikra, it's not an accident that we spend all our lives studying Torah in Talmud Bavli. The Talmud Bavli is called Talmud Shel Choshech. It's called the Gemara of Darkness. And when the Tzaddikim, the Tanaim, the Amoraim came to Eretz Yisrael, they fasted to forget it. So how could it be that we spend our entire life studying it? And the answer is because Tosfos says it's full of bilbulim, it's full of answers and questions. And it's the Talmud of Golis. And that's the Golis we're still suffering. The darkness that we're still experiencing. Gnawing, difficult, painful questions. Not difficult questions, hair-splitting questions that we have to find answers to. And that's the Yigius and Amelus and Teres, says the Rebbe. Lahakshos uletaretz. Shelo al pi emes, ad shizbar lano emes. And we have an obligation to study and ask and fight and try to toil and study in Torah, asking ourselves questions, even if the answers that we give are wrong, until we find the right answer, until we uncover the truth, until we uncover the MS. And I think basically that's what we're holding in right now, in a place where there's Nebuch a lot of questions. And I don't have any answers for you, but I know that there's a place where there are all the answers. And Hashem should help that if we do what we're supposed to do, be Amelim B'Torah, and do Kiddush Hashem by doing the mitzvahs, whether they're Ben Adam L'Chavera, Ben Adam L'Makom, and attach ourselves to the Tzaddikim, who they themselves are attached to the place where there are no questions, Hashem will help that we'll have the answers. Thanks for sharing with me and coming with me. Hashem will help, we'll have the answers soon, Hashem.